on this week's show. Frustration for Ramsgate despite their late heroics. We hear from boss Ben Smith.
There's a lot can happen. I've said to the lads at the end there, you've kept it alive, but you can't concede goals like that and expect to go and win a league. That's the brutal facts of it.
Grey Valley PM manager Steve McKim is more upbeat after that top of the table draw at Ramsgate.
Everyone's going to be disappointed. My players are disappointed, but I've just told them that it's still in our hands. And that's the thing we've got to look at. If we don't win this league now, after that game today, then we've got to have a good look at ourselves.
And we look ahead to a massive weekend in the National League and discuss where it's all gone wrong for Dartford. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Nottingham podcast, sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. Matt, how are they getting on, the boys?
I've had a text from our good friend Nick. So Nick, I know he's a listener because he wants to hear his company name and his football club mentioned. If he can give us a shout, drop me a text before the end of the season, we can update everybody and also maybe player of the season and bits and pieces. We'll give some shout outs to Nick for thanks for your support this season and see how they're getting on, Sandwich Town FC.
Absolutely, that's part of the agreement there. Yeah. We've just got two interviews for you this week. There's just so much to talk about ahead of the final weekend of the season for some of our teams, which is a ridiculous thing to be saying on April the 17th. We're going to give you the full lowdown on the ups and downs across the six tiers we cover. It may be more of us, more for me to edit when I cough and splutter and get my words wrong, but we'll get through it. I'm John Phipps.
You're saying that, John. When did football finish? Is this the earliest finish for a while?
But I can remember, yeah.
Any reason for that?
Well, so I believe the reason that the National League is finishing so early is because the National League playoff final is at Wembley Stadium. They have to play at Wembley Stadium. But because the Champions League final is earlier because of Euro 2024, and with the Champions League final, the league, the Football League playoff finals, they've got to fit everything in and around it. So they've got to get the season finished, then get the playoffs done in order to play the final at Wembley.
All right. So the non-league is the National League is the main benefactor of that by finishing really early. And
I would actually say that what they probably should do in the National League is say this year, do you know, we'll play it somewhere else. They've done it before, haven't they? They played at the London Stadium a few years ago. And with the greatest deal of respect, and obviously we hope Bromley are in that final, it's not going to sell out Wembley, is it? And I think that's kind of...
No disrespect to the teams left in it. No.
Absolutely.
It seems to be very rushed. So I think before with the playoffs, you had a good week to get yourself planned ahead of it, isn't it? So it seems to be, very rushed. So, but again, this is the National League.
Absolutely. I'm John Phipps. He managed to get sworn out by the perpetrator of a terrible piece of driving last week. And on the line now is a man who, for the final time for the foreseeable future, I can say is a fan of a National League team. Matt Gerrard, are you glad it's almost over?
Yeah. It's been a long, hard season. And I'm hoping that basically we've hit a low now. It is a bit concerning that there could be two sides who got relegated from National South last season who could be relegated this next season. But hopefully we will bounce back against that and have a decent game. And I was having a conversation with somebody. If you offered me 12th now for Dover next season, I'd probably take it. So there you go. We've got to win some more matches. And I've got my stat here, John. We've played 150 matches since COVID and we've lost 63% of them.
Wowzers. So, I thought it would be higher, actually, to be honest.
We've drawn a few, but we've drawn about 25. And we've only won, but the other stat I really should have used, we've only won 14% of them. Ah. So that's the stat for you to go, blimey, really. So, but we move onwards and upwards. And we can look forward to me crying when we're relegated this time next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we move on into the world of football chat, we've already started it, but have you got anything else quickly you want to chat about, or should we save that for the end?
Nothing too exciting. No, we'll save that to the end, John. I did watch a film at the weekend, which I really enjoyed. We can talk about that. So it's all about football. That's about the season, John. It's all exciting for certain teams.
Yeah, you say that. I mean,
we could have this discussion because Hodie, friend of the show, said to me, it could be, from a Kent point of view, apart from the FA Cup, an absolute stinker of a season, couldn't it? We'll have to discuss that in the final episode. How good has this season been? Excitement-wise, good. football.
Absolutely. It's our 293rd episode this week, and I found the Rhino Moscow 293. Matt Gerrard, I'm putting you on the spot. What do you think the Rhino Moscow 293 might be?
Is it a truck?
No, it's a drinks fridge, silly. It comes in, it's 1,800 millimetres tall. That's 180 centimetres in normal common sense, or just about 6 foot. And it's capable of holding 280 330 millilitre beer bottles. Now, I've got no idea on what price this should be, but £1,215.53 from staycold.co.uk seems pretty reasonable. I'm going to need a new fridge at some point this year, hopefully. And I'm really not ruling it out. Fee may feel differently, of course. But can you imagine having
Can you put anything else like in there apart from beer cans, or is it slots for beer cans?
Well, it's all sort of set up with like the shelving and everything like that. So I'm guessing it's mainly for, I'm thinking it's probably aimed at pubs. And obviously, lots of craft beer places have lots of fridges like that. So I'm sure my good friends Jamie and John will know all about them.
I'm sure there must be somebody who's probably got one of those beer fridges. To be honest, John, I'm drinking cider these days. I'm not drinking beer. So there you go.
Well,
that's a,
you can put wow, cider in it as well. Then. You can put cider in it as well. I'm sure you're allowed to put bottles of cider in it as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to have a specific massive beer fridge like that. It would be great. I had a little one once before, but I would love to.
Really need a man cave for that, with a dartboard, Sky Sports on the telly.
Yeah.
H3 girl calendar, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've looked at house prices lately, but I don't think a man cave is very much on my agenda.
There is, funny enough, there's a place in Broadstairs that's they've built on some land, and they've clearly got put a basement into it. It's a massive hole, and I'd like this would be this house is big, they're building this thing, but the basement's going to be absolutely enormous. So, have you ever had a house without a basement?
And well, I lived in the basement for a while at the B&B.
Is there any whether many houses would have a basement these days? Probably not.
I wouldn't think so. No, and you know, I think it only tends to be really old places. Like also when I grew up, my mum and dad had a pub that they had the basement, the cellar there. But I don't think they're commonplace anymore. Really, I think you know, in this day and age, especially modern houses, it's all about cramming as many houses into as small a space as you can, isn't it?
Well, in Thanet, like basically, any bit of land people are building houses on, it's absolutely mental over here. What about where you are? Are they doing that as well?
Eastbourne, they're trying to build a lot of houses where they can. I mean, at the moment, if I look out to my right when it's light, it's currently pitch black. There's a lovely big field out there, but that is escaped on the current plan. But there are some. There was one plan. They were trying to build some houses on a car park along the seafront, and you're thinking, what are you doing? You know, I get there's a housing crisis. And trust me, as someone who's currently in the process of looking at trying to buy a house, I understand the issues at the moment, you know, but it's so difficult. And you know, but it just seems to me like we're, all of our green and pleasant land, as they said in Jerusalem, seems to be being demolished for houses that aren't even that big or that well put together.
Looking to move to Tunbridge Wells, I presume. Again, that's difficult as well, cost wise.
Well, let's just say we've been looking in Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge, and for our budget, despite the fact we both have good jobs, you know, we don't earn poor money, we don't earn amazing money, but you know, the pool of houses at the moment is very, very small. We've looked at a couple, and we're just sort of. Well, but the problem is with the mortgage rates being as they are at the moment, the mortgage payments are taking out a mortgage at the moment are eye-watering. But it's tough because, you know, right now I'm sat in Eastbourne, and as much as I'm enjoying talking to you, and I still would be talking to you, Matt, but I wish I was about 40 miles away from the coast and with someone else. But that's the way of the world. Anyway, let's get on with the show. And we're going to start with the National League Premier Division, where it's all set up for a blockbusting final day at the foot of the table. FC United suffered defeat in their final home game of the season, 2-0 to playoff-bound Altrincham, and then drew 0-0 at Halifax on Tuesday night. That puts them on 53 points in 19th spot, 2 points clear of the drop zone. But on Saturday, they head to Boreham Wood, the team who currently occupy that 21st spot in the danger zone. In between them sit Woking on 52 points. So it's quite simple, actually. If Fleet avoid defeat, they are safe and Boreham Wood are down. If Fleet lose, they will stay up as long as Woking also lose, Woking at home to Fylde. But then if Fleet have lost and Woking get a point, Fleet will be down on goal difference. It means everybody above those teams, even teams on the same number of points as Ebbsfleet, are safe. It's down to these three. One from three will drop. What a battle that promises to be, Matt. And Boreham Wood against Ebbsfleet. You know, the National League fixture planners, I don't have a lot of time for them, but they've lucked out there, haven't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. I suppose we should have really seen this coming, how tight it was going to be. But a side could be relegated on 53 points, which probably, from an Ebbsfleet point of view, when they weren't relegated by a point, you know, half a point or point of a point, wouldn't it? And now they can be relegated on 53. It's going to be tough. Boreham Wood in decent form. Couple of good results. They've shored up the defence, which was a problem. Maybe the Luke Garrard effect of him leaving has galvanised them. I did think Ebbsfleet were going to be safe. It's going to be tough. Boreham Wood, has been a good speech come out from the chairman saying about it. You know, this is as big as probably they when they got to the playoff final, when they play Tranmere as a game for them to try and stay in this division. It's a toss of a coin job, really, John, isn't it? Ebbsfleet done really well since Danny Sales come on board. You'd have thought any other season they would be really enough safe, but toss of a coin. Can they do it? They could lose and still stay up, and Woking go down. So I'm torn here, John, aren't I? Woking.
I know. Well, the thing is I suppose from the point of view of Ebbsfleet United, at least it's in their own hands. They know if they get any form of result at Boreham Wood, they're safe. And the dream for anyone involved with Ebbsfleet United is go there, score a couple of early goals and sharp shop. That's all they need to do. And you know, all of the pressure is on Boreham Wood. And I'm sure their millions of fans will be... they haven't got any, have they? But I'm sure people will be getting behind them. But the pressure is on them because, as you say, the chairman's come out and given this speech and everything like that. And they've got to win the game of football. Whereas Ebbsfleet United could go and just spoil it for an hour and they're absolutely fine. And I guess that's the crux of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and in some context, probably Danny Searle, who knows his level, if Dennis Katrine was in charge, would he do that style of football? And that's probably got them in this position, probably in the first place, but struggling by trying to play too much nice football in this division or not being as solid and having a plan B. So Danny Searle's done a good job. I think he'll be unfortunate if he gets relegated and where Ebbsfleet go from there. I think it's important they stay up because I think next season it's going to be even more of a really open league with the sides look like they're coming down, might not be a threat. So I think it could be got an open league. And if Ebbsfleet work well in the summer and probably have to change a bit of the squad, I would have thought, they could be a contender for a playoff position next season. So massive game for them. Massive game. I'm seeing that. I think they're going to try and take over 1,000 fans. They will really well supported away from home. So should be a cracking atmosphere. Early kickoff. I think it's live on the telly as well, isn't it? So,
well, it's got to be that. I hadn't actually checked, but if that's not the decision that they've made, you know, then I really think that the broadcasters would have to look at themselves long and hard in the mirror. I just worry for Ebbsfleet United. And I think, you know, for Danny Searle, I feel a bit sorry for him, is that, you know, the goal difference could be all important here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he wasn't in charge for out of character 6-1 defeat at Altrincham or losing 4-0 at home to bottom side Oxford City or 5-1 defeat at Bromley on in between Christmas and New Year. And ultimately, those three results could be what cost them, you know. And I feel sorry for Danny Searle in that aspect. Since that heavy defeat he had at his former club, Aldershot, you know, they've picked up points here and there. They've had some tough fixtures. They've won a couple of crucial games. You know, they've been hard to beat. You know, a good point at Halifax last night. But ultimately, that point will be a bad point if they then go and lose on Saturday.
Yeah, I suppose you're a little bit concerned that they haven't scored in the last three games. So defeats for the, you know, defeats again, home defeat to Altrincham, where they apparently dominated and had numerous chances, could be the one that kills them. But you look at it in some ways, if they manage to stay up, how important is that Mark Cousins goal to get when he scored in the last minute against York? So interesting. Yeah, he couldn't call it, John, really, I don't think. Danny Searle, you know, he had the manager bounce. I think they won maybe 4 or 5 on the spin when he came on. Well, really good. So if they do stay up, he plays a massive part in it, because when Dennis Katrieve went, they looked in trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, if you've not forgotten, the Kent Senior Cup final is currently taking place on this Wednesday evening. It is Ebbsfleet United, despite the fact that they played last night at Halifax. They're in action against Maidstone at Hayes Lane. Maidstone have also got bigger fish to fry at this time of the season. Maidstone are 3-0 up in that game against an Ebbsfleet side made up of players who didn't play last night and won't be playing on Saturday, I'd imagine, either. Maidstone are going to win the Kent Senior Cup. I don't know if that'll be a little bit of a hollow victory given the final, but we shall see what happens there. Bromley, of course, Matt, they will be in the playoffs. They could still nick second spot. It doesn't matter that much, I suppose, in terms of the home advantage, because we've already discussed the finals at Wembley. But it would be nice if they could finish second ahead of the final games on Saturday. But they've secured that home eliminator, I think that's what they call it, which we play on the 28th, so a week on Sunday, against probably the team who finishes fourth, I'd imagine, which it looks like it would be Altrincham. And a great job for Andy Woodman. And I suppose this weekend is just a matter of getting everything right and making sure they're in the best place possible for a massive game in a week's time.
Yeah, I think so. I think somebody said that Andy Goodwoman's been in charge for 120 odd games and he's only lost 20 and got a great win record. Yeah, fantastic season for them. You know, averaging crowds of over 3,000 in decent form. Michael Cheek, I think he got his, they said in the highlight show, his 150th National League goal. So what a player he's been for them. I think it looks like a non-league club will be promoted to the Football League. You look at the sides in the player positions. I know Barnet have been in the league before, but they are, to me, a non-league club. So I think it's Bromley's time. I really do. I think they've done their hard work over the last couple of seasons. They've clearly got a good manager, a good squad. Maybe some of the players' last chance. You know, Michael Cheek, was he 32, 33 now? Great player, but this is their chance to be a Football League player. And I fancy them. They're running into good form. The form was a bit mixed, wasn't it, after the New Year, Christmas period. But they've always been in the top three, haven't they, since probably October, November time. So they deserve to be there. And then fingers crossed that they can do it. And again, well done for the National League to surely the fixture list when they go to Gateshead away on the final game of the season. They know that took off really ridiculously early. You'd have thought they'd at least made it a little bit local.
Well, no, I suppose they're not the only ones, because Fylde have got to come down to Woking,
Rochdale,
Southend.
Surely Bromley should be playing Woking then, really, shouldn't it?
It's not the best thought out, is it? As you say, no. Gateshead away. Gateshead are in the playoffs, along with Barnet, the aforementioned Bromley, Altrincham, Solihull, Moors, the last place up for grabs still at the moment between Aldershot and Halifax. It looks pretty much Halifax. They do have a game on Thursday, so you'd probably say they could be favourites if they can win that one before their short trip on the final day. Matt, they're at Eastleigh. Very well thought out. Let's look at the National League South then, where the shock inevitable, though, was confirmed for Dartford, who, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, Matt, because it feels like it was never going to happen. But Dartford have been relegated from the National League South and will be in the Isthmian League next season. It's come across us. And I remember weeks ago, Matt, I read out a list of teams and I said, one of these teams is going to get drawn into it. And Dartford were just below that list. And I said, they'll be fine. But they've just not won a game of football. And they've just plummeted down the league. And here they are on the final day of the season, before the final day of the season, with their relegation confirmed. They've got 43 points from 45 games. And Dartford, Matt, are a massive club in the county. They've had been on the crest of a wave since they've moved to Prince's Park. You know, they look after the pitch. They've got good community there. And they've been relegated. I cannot actually believe that's happened. Can you?
I am shocked at the highest order. The Dartford fans on social media, I've read it again. I think they're sort of sort of saying that maybe we're living in the past a bit. They've always had, since they moved to that ground, an upward trajectory, haven't they? And I relegation from the National League, but again, I'll start for the National League side. Looking at the records, probably not. But so they have that fun there over a couple of seasons. So they're always in a trajectory, always run well. I just don't know where it's gone wrong, really. You look at the start of the season, I think they have one defeat in the first six or so games. So, didn't you know, they seemed okay, drew a few games. Alan Dowson,
it just didn't work, did it? And I think the thing was, last season, we kind of let them off, even when they were doing quite well, we kind of let them off of saying, oh, well, it's not his team. Yeah. He'll sort it out. And then he got the opportunity to bring in his players over the summer. And the squad, you know, every time you've seen them, you've said, where's the goals coming from? You know, yeah. And I feel like they lost Tom Bonner as well and Connor Essence.
Well, I think the Tom Bonner factor is probably a big thing. The last of the, maybe that, you know, the golden generation for Dartford, would you say, that the Brad Brooks, etc., the players like that, who've been there for a while.
And I suppose that's part of it. We see this at the highest levels of football. We saw it with Manchester United. Alex Ferguson moved on. Impossible to move on from that dynasty, I suppose, to see. We may well see it next season at Liverpool, where Jurgen Klopp goes. You know, trying to build on something like that. And I think not necessarily managers, because they've chopped and changed their managers a little bit. Obviously, that Tony Byrne was there for a long time and is still heavily involved in the club. But it was those players, like you say, you know, those players who'd all made 450 appearances for the club. And for them all to go, and I guess those players were part of the identity of Dartford. You know, that as you say, the Brad Brooks. And when we first started doing this show, I'd nip up to Dartford a few times, and you know, you could see those players, how much it meant to them to play for Dartford. And with all due respect to the current Dartford squad, I don't think they've got that deep-seated love for the club.
No,
that they have. And you know, Dartford as well, Matt, you've seen them more than me, but you know, we know they've got a good academy there. Where are the academy products coming through? You know, what's happened? You know, obviously Steve King came in and he's very much a man who brings his own players and doesn't like to trust in the youth that much. Alan Dowson obviously has picked up where he was, and I guess had some expensive players knocking around that he couldn't necessarily get rid of very easily. But where are the kids coming through? You know, why aren't Dartford finding the next Tom Bonner? Why aren't they finding the next Brad Brooks? Why aren't they finding the next Ryan Hayes and playing these kids in the team? Because I can guarantee you they probably wouldn't have done any worse than they have done this season.
Yeah, well, the best player I've seen is Box, who is from their academy. So big decisions to be made. The Dartford people, yeah. Do they stick with Ailey Pennock? I don't know. I'm trying to really think, offering him if he's got an 18-month contract or is a contract to the end of the season. It will be interesting if they keep him.
If he stays, I would say a good start is required.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's right. I think we like AD, he's a good guy, and he'll do his best to get them out of the hole. If they don't keep him, there's a couple of managers in Kent that I would think that Dartford should be looking at. I'm not going to say names, but a couple of ones that could do a really good job, I think, for Dartford at the level they're at. Because Dartford are not an Isthmian South League, an Isthmian Premier League side. They will be massive favourites to win that division next year. But like I said, with Dover and the sides who got relegated, they've got to be into a losing habit and a sort of club in a sort of decline. They need to rescue it around, because you say once you get in decline, it's very difficult to get out of it.
Well, as you know, Matt, from your experiences. But as I say, you know, Dartford, every year since we've done this podcast, they've had a successful season. I'm pretty sure they've got in the playoffs or been near as damn them.
Six out of the last 7 years.
There you go. We've been doing the podcast 7 years. That tells you everything you need to know. Yeah, and it's always a success story for Dartford. And I'm sure if you go back to the start of the season, we almost would have had a weariness in our voices when we said, well, Dartford will be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
In fact, we probably expected it. I think we both expected Yeovil to win the league. We are very good, aren't we? But there was, you know, Dartford will be there and thereabouts. You've got Dowson, who knows what he's doing. They'll be fine. And then they just... I feel like they've almost sleepwalked into this, Matt. And you know, their run of form has been wretched the last few months. And it just, I'm gutted for the supporters and for the people at the club. But also, you know, some of those people behind the scenes have got to take some responsibility for this because, do they? I suppose if you look at Christmas time, I think you saw them over Christmas, didn't you, Matt?
I saw against Welling when Welling got a last-minute equaliser. You said to me one of these sides were getting relegated, it wouldn't have been Dartford.
No. So, you know, it's obviously just one of those things where a malaise has seeped into the club and they found themselves on an awful run of form and not managing to get any results in there. And they've paid the ultimate price for it because they have been relegated. And I think, you know, Ailie Pennock is a good manager. I'm sure he would love the chance to get at it. But if they decide to go down a different path, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity for whoever has the job at the start of the season because it's going to be pretty much a blank canvas. Start again at one of the title favourites. I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
Yeah, and again, a bit like any side, the Dovers, the recruitment next season for the sides who got relegated, recruitment is absolutely key because for Dartford, it's been wrong all season. So, yeah, interesting times ahead. We'll have to see what happens.
Absolutely. At the top of the National League South, Maidstone United are in the playoffs, as we said. They could still manage to sneak in and get themselves the crucial home tie get themselves into the eliminator, so to speak, by avoiding the semi-finals. As things stand at the moment, right now, with a game to play for everybody, they will be at home in the semi-final. That is an absolute bare minimum for them. They are fifth in the table. They can't finish lower than fifth. On Saturday, they're at home to Hampton Richmond, who are still on the brink of the playoffs.
I am at that game, John.
So need a result. Matt Gerrard is at that game. That's great news. And it could be that they win that game, Matt, and that they could sneak and finish third if both Worthing and Braintree slip up. Worthing home to Western Supermare and Braintree at home to Eastbourne, who also need a result at the other end of the table. But as things stand at the moment, it would be Maidstone against Bath City in an eliminator playoff, which will be played on Tuesday next week. So literally, as Matt said, no time to rest. It's straight into these playoffs before the final is on the 4th. And I think the final of the National League is on the 5th. So these playoffs will be done and dusted in 2 weeks, which seems incredibly early, but we've already talked about why that is. If you can finish third for Maidstone, that'd be great. That gives them another few days off and they'll be at home in the semi-final. Because if not at the moment, it would be, Chelmsford that they'd have to go to or Worthing that they'd have to go to in that game?
I've got it noted somewhere, yeah. I think, again, Hampton need to win to clarify their playoff place. So should be an interesting game. I think Maidstone form is really good at the moment. Again, they lost to Truro, but home form has been good, scoring goals.
And that's why finishing third would be massive for them. Because
I think in front of the crowd, final. I fancy Maidstone to beat anybody in the first round. Any of those sides, they can beat whoever they play if they're at home. I fancy them to get through Chelmsford or Worthing. They've beaten Worthing 4-0 and lost 5-1 away. So, again, we know what Maidstone could do, like in the cup competition. They're going to win the Kent Senior Cup, the FA Cup. I presume George Ellacobe, even though he won't say it, will be treating these games exactly like he treated the FA Cup game. It's a one-off. We know we've got the quality. Let's go out and do it. So,
in a one-off game, they're going to fancy themselves, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Got to. And when I ask him that question next week, he probably won't answer it that way, but he will. In a one-off, for what they've achieved this season, he's got to fancy them. He must be confident that they've got a chance. And
none of those other top teams in that playoff place want to play Maidstone. You know, I don't care that they're not going to finish second. Teams are going to be saying, they've beaten Ipswich, they've beaten Stevenage, you know, they've beaten Barrow. We do not want to play them. Yeah. And I think that is going to be a big factor for Maidstone United. And, you know, massive good luck to them in that playoff push. Let's round up the rest of our teams in the National League South very quickly. Tunbridge Angels are 13th in the table. They may finish a little bit lower depending on how they get on Saturday at home to St Albans. While Welling United, a brilliant run of form for them to move them away and to safety. 53 points they've got from 45 games. They're 17th. That just shows you the challenge that Ipswich United are facing because they're 19th and still in danger of going down with 53 points. Welling well safe with 53. And a brilliant job by Rod Stringer. They finish at Slough Town on Saturday. We'll look back at all these teams next week and sort of review their seasons as a whole. Dover will finish bottom of the table. And a nice easy one for them to finish at home to the champions, Yeovil Town. They were beaten by Truro on Tuesday night. And I guess, Matt, as I kind of said at the top of the show, but let's just put this one in the history books and move on, shall we?
I write a programme for the Dover Athletic programme. And exactly that. When we look back on the 23-24 season, when history is written, I think the page will be about three words: not very good.
Just like the previous year the one before that.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, when I write the history of Dover Athletic, of course, if I've got a book in me, that will be it. Yeah, these will be very small chapters since COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah, the results on Saturday, just to run through them quickly. Chelmsford 3, Tunbridge Angels 0. Dover beaten 1-0 at Hampton and Richmond. My mate Dave went to that game, actually. He said Dover had the better of the chances and then lost to a
couldn't score in a brothel.
Yeah, but he's a Fulham fan. He said it was just like being at home. Maidstone beating 3-1 at Truro, as Matt's already said. It was Welling 0, Weymouth 0, and Dartford's relegation was confirmed with that 3-1 defeat at Yeovil. Let's move down then to the Isthmian League South East, teams you desperately want to play against Dartford and Dover next season, and a huge game on Saturday. We gave it the big build-up. It looked at one stage like it was all going to be home and hose with Cray Valley 2-0 up. But what a finale as Ramsgate came back to get a draw and a 2-2 draw in that game against Cray Valley. It keeps the Rams top of the table, but they are hanging on by a thread with Cray Valley having a game in hand. And as you're about to hear, Ramsgate manager Ben Smith speaking to Matt after the game, thinks it may be all over.
Yeah, so we've said it before the game, you know, for both sides to now beat the Isthmian South East points record. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? If you said at the start of the season we'd do that, you wouldn't be thinking it'd be going down to the last couple of games, would you? But obviously for us, it was, yeah, we needed to get a win today. And
is that, you thought you had to win this game?
Look, there's a lot can happen. I've said to the lads at the end there, you've kept it alive, but you can't concede goals like that and expect to go and win a league. That's, you know, that's the brutal facts of it. And, you know, the games that we've dropped points in, you know, we wouldn't lose the league on playing Cray. You know, we'd lose the league on, you know, losing away at Horndean.
Was the pressure on you? You thought your team went into this game, you were top of the table, but they've got that game in hand.
Yeah, so, like, you know, a lot can happen, but when you're looking at it, the teams that you'd think, you know, if you went back 2 months ago, the teams you think are going to be a tough side to play in the running, you know, they're not anymore. You know, you look at Hive, they're dead and buried, you know, conceding a lot of goals in the minute. You look, Herne Bay, they're pretty much gone now, I think, mathematically.
So you don't think Cray, at the present moment, 10 minutes after the end of the game, will drop points in any of the games?
I wouldn't expect so. No, I wouldn't expect so. You know, and don't be wrong, we've beat Chester, I think we've beaten 5-0 here.
Because going for context, you've got to play the two sides who are fourth and fifth in the division now, so as well. So it's tough fixtures for you coming up.
Yeah, the Three Bridges game's at home. Obviously, Chichester away, you know, they're on great form at the minute. And they're playing for someone. You know, they've just lost their assistant manager, just passed away. And obviously, thoughts out to all of them. They're good people at Chichester, and they're a good side. It is what it is. We got to go for the next two games, see what we can do, and win those games, and we'll see where that takes us.
You've got to be pleased with your character, though. As I say, dead and buried after 85. I thought Cray were a better side, holding you at bay. You got into it, and then that sort of galvanised you a bit.
I thought we got bullied today. That's in a nutshell. I thought it was men against boys. I thought our experienced players didn't step up. I thought their experience, you know, they do what they do really well. You know, they play percentages, they make you have to defend. You know, in our first goal, we get a free kick in their half, and you're thinking, right, we've looked dangerous from set pieces here, because I don't think they're that great in terms of defending them. You know, they did look like we could get some chances there, and we've tried a little short free kick, and it's just crazy. And that's my, you know, experienced players doing that. It's, you know,
so yeah. How you mentioned it now, you mentioned to the players how two games you've got to hit pick 6 points from those two games. No other way about it, is there?
No other way about it. Win your games, and then you see where that takes us. Again, you look at the teams they've got to play. You know, we had to come play Hive away on God knows, I can't even describe the pitch. Horndean away, couldn't even describe how bad the pitches were when they were, you know, in form. They're not in form anymore, those sides. You know, and I'm, from what I'm hearing today from the Isthmian League, they're making Horndean play at Havant and Waterlooville. And if that's the case, that's a disgrace. You know, because let's have it right, playing on a 3G and playing at...
Pitch
is very different.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah. It must be difficult for you. But talking about from that, 2,500 people here, great atmosphere. Where the club is going, of course, the key thing is promotion, isn't it? But off the pitch, they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, so there's so much, you know, so much good stuff, you know, we've done this year. So much good stuff that the club off the pitch has improved this year, you know, and, you know, it was a great club before we came here. And, you know, it's just getting bigger and bigger. And, yeah, it's just quite frustrating at the minute. It's
difficult having emotions after the game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought after the second we could go and nick it. We just didn't use that momentum. I didn't think we were streetwise at all today, to be honest. You know, and I thought they were streetwise, and it was a big, that was the difference in the two sides, I thought. They knew how to handle themselves when the ball's bouncing around. And, yeah, defensively, we were a car crash.
But you're still in it. Think of it that, though.
Exactly that. We're still in it, and, you know, even if we weren't in it, we'd be going to Chichester, we'd be going to Three Bridges, and we'd be going to win the games. And that's, you know, cliche or what, it's, you know, it's not in my nature to go and roll over. That's not the case, you know. You know, we've won 27 games this season. You don't do that if you're a bad side, and you don't do that if you haven't got a winning mentality. And we, you know, we definitely have that. I just thought today, yeah, the I think the saying is the chickens come home to roost. I think a little bit at the back, you know, and that's the difference. I don't think we're good enough at the back.
Well, he's almost written it off there, Matt, hasn't he, by saying, you know, we've got two tough games. But I suppose what works in their favour is that the two teams they've got to play haven't got anything to play for at the moment. They've got playoffs. And also, for Ramsgate, if they are going to be in the playoffs, they're going to play one of those two teams. So they want to go and get a result, don't they?
Yeah. From a game perspective, I think Ben was right. It was quite, you know, difficult after the game. He looked angry when I spoke to him. They didn't perform. Craig with a better team. I think, you know, Ramsgate had to win that game. Is what Steve, when we hear from Stephen Kim in a minute, he's right. Ramsgate had to win the game. And I was speaking to somebody and they said, how do you play this for Ramsgate? He said, what Craig will do is just, you know, just keep it calm for the first 20 minutes. They kept it calm. They were the better team. They took the chances. But Ramsgate didn't get going, but showed the character to come back into it. With the two goals late on. Fantastic crowd, 2,500. Highest in about 60 years at Ramsgate. But again, the people I spoke to, they're just a little bit worried now about the playoffs and what's happened before.
I guess it was a funny situation at the end, Matt, where absolute joy, limbs, scenes at getting those two goals to get a point. But actually, ultimately, a point's a disappointing result.
It is, yeah. Again, Steve McKim's, from Cray's form this season, the games they've got left to play, you would expect them to win those games. And Steve McKim expects them to hear that. And you might as well play his interview now, John, because he's...
Okay, I'll do it. Here is the Cray Valley boss, Steve McKim, also talking to Matt after the game.
Yeah, of course it is. We got three games, they got two. We're level on points. So if we win all three, we win the league. Today was, and I kept it from the players, but today was a must win for Ramsgate. And I'm going to start speaking about it now. It was a must-win for them because, albeit we've got games to play, this was our toughest test in a while. And if I'm being honest, we dominated, in my opinion, and I might be biased, we dominated. Had two good chances to make it 3-0. Didn't take them. And Ramsgate, fair play to them, the players, their staff, kept going and going. And they scored one right at the death. And we've done that this season, so I'm not going to moan about it.
I thought for 85 minutes you were a better team, and Ben agreed that they you sort of bullied them, and I thought it was a good performance for you. So how does it feel to concede those late goals?
No different when we scored a late goals. You know, you feel disappointed, but what can you do about it? It's a game of football. Football lasts 90, 95, 100 minutes. So you've got to stay switched on. I felt that we had a player off the pitch, but we didn't deal with that situation well enough. We let someone in.
Was the injury as well, and the long delay for the free kick they got the equaliser from, was that a factor?
Yeah, that was. Plus the handbags on the touchline and stuff like that, which was ridiculous. But like I say, what culminates is the two chances we had to go 3-0, and that's game over. And I wouldn't necessarily say we physically bullied them. I'd say we played, in my opinion, the boys played to what I wanted them to do. They executed what I wanted them to do. And like you say, for 85 minutes, it was all us. They had Joe Turner come on, made a difference for them, I believe, in my opinion, and he's put two over the bar. But other than that, we've restricted them to minimal. And like I say, everyone's going to be disappointed. My players are disappointed, but I've just told them that it's still in our hands. And that's the thing we've got to look at. If we don't win this league now, after that game today, then we've got to have a good look at ourselves. And that ain't putting pressure on people. That's just making an understanding that it's advantage Cray Valley after that result today. If we'd won, it would have been even more of an advantage. But it's not. It's a draw. We've got an extra game to play, and we could win the league by 3 points.
On paper, and Ben said this, you've got the easier fixtures in your three games. They've got two sides in the playoffs. What do you say about that?
They're in the playoffs, but they may be resting players for the playoffs. So I don't buy into any of that. I think you've got to go out and play what's put in front of you. You've got to give it your all. Erm Bay, I believe, didn't get the result they wanted today, so they may miss out on the playoffs, but they're still going to want to fight for their manager. They're fighting for a deal for next year, some of them players. And I know Steve Lovell won't be letting them come and rest on their laurels for us. Then we go away to Hive, which, yeah, they're having a bad time, but it's not the best of places to go in terms of what they can do to you on any given occasion. I know Steve's gone. And then we go to Horndean, who, like I say,
I don't know where that game will be played yet, do you? That's one of the things.
At the moment, no. We're waiting to find out about that and get clarification. But like I say, we've got to go there. So when you look at the league terms, say it's easy on paper. We scored two goals in injury time against Erith and Belvedere to win 3-1. Everyone would say, that's a shoe-in for Cray Valley. It weren't. You know, because the players put their heart and soul into it. No player goes out on that pitch and just rolls over. So everyone's got their opinions, but it's you've got to play the next game. And as I said before, it's 36 games out of 38 next Saturday, and we've got to win that. And then if we win that, we go to 37, then we go to 38. So like I say, today was a big result for us, even though we didn't get the win that we aspired to and tried to get. And I thought that we were I personally thought, and I don't say this often, I thought we were against a very good side, worthy winners today if we'd won. We didn't. They showed their resilience, their character, their togetherness, and they got themselves back in the game and got themselves a deserved point in the end.
I have to say, first of all, about what a great title race it's been, though, isn't it? Really, it keeps going on and on and on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I listened to the podcast and it's one of those. I don't think any point that this league has had this sort of to-ing and fro-ing. You know, we were playing catch-up a lot, which we'd done. Then we got ahead, then they caught us and went ahead when we lost at Freebridge. So it's been to and fro. Now we're down to the last last week of the season, coming next Saturday. So it's basically who can produce the regular performances that they have been doing to get the results that they need to get them over the line.
And you're confident your boys in the dressing room have got that?
They've had an abundance all season. And like I say, apart from being down to 10 men when they scored the free kick at the end, off the free kick at the end there, I feel that they're very focused. They've got the end goal in sight, knowing that there ain't long left. And that proved that today in our performance. And I thought, like I say, I speak for me and my team only, and I'm not someone that throws it out there often. I thought they were very good today, my team.
Well, first of all, Steve, thanks for listening. As you did say there, very nice. Always a pleasure, Steve. And thank you for your time, as always. One of our favourite managers to talk to, because I know you listen. But in all seriousness, a massive result for them. And as he said there, you know, it was a must not lose for Cray Valley, whereas it a must win for Ramsgate. Obviously, he was frustrated to not see it out and take those chances to go clear. But he will feel that they're in a good position.
Yeah, they are in a good position. I think he got his tactics spot on. Hit on the counter-attack. Arthur Lee was good at the back, just had Joe Taylor in his pocket, just get in front of a man, head the ball, clear the ball. Cairo Lisby is a threat. Again, first half, he got yellow carded, didn't do too much. but you give him the ball, running at defenders, good finish. Freddie Parker, he was a threat up front. Not the most mobile of front men, but he's an absolute handful because he puts himself around, and it unsettled Ramsgate a little bit. I think Ramsgate thought they'd have a bit more of the ball. It didn't do it. And again, Ben Smith said about Boss bullying them. In a context, I think they did. I think they wanted it more. Not wanted it more, but you know, you could see what Cray knew, and Steve McKim had got into them. Right, this is not a must lose. Be first in the ball. Ramsgate were lucky to get a point. They've got a point, and it could be an important point. If Cray, you know, Herne Bay and Hive, you don't know with Hive with the new manager what it is, but Steve McKim, if Steve McKim's confident in the next three games, he expects them to win. I expect Cray to win those three games. And from a Ramsgate perspective, next two games, win them at all costs. Go into the playoffs with a bit of confidence. Whoever you may play, Chichester or Three Bridges, or it could be Citybourne, depending on the scores, but highly unlikely that Citybourne will be playing one of the other sides. Go in there with a bit of confidence, because it would be nervy, I'm sure, after what we saw against Hythe last season. Ramsgate at home on a Tuesday night against Chichester and Three Bridges, in decent form as well, and who score goals, it could be a nervy time for Ramsgate.
Absolutely. Well, Three Bridges have scored more goals than Cray Valley, so that tells you you'll need to know about that. And as you say, playing those two teams, actually, Ramsgate have got to go there and set a marker now. Even if, of course, they want to win those two games and still have a chance to win the league. But if they were to play Chichester, beat them 4-0, that puts Chichester on the back foot for any potential playoff game. Same with Three Bridges. Win those games of football. And that's all they can do, you know. And yeah, disappointment for Ramsgate if they do finish second. But as Ben Smith said there, both these teams have broken the points record for this division. It is incredible what they have both done. They have both been incredible and they both deserve to go up. So the challenge for whichever one of these two teams doesn't win the league is that they've got to win these playoffs, because they've got to go out there and show why they got 86 points after 36 and 35 games. They've got to go out there and finish the job. And, you know, I'm fully confident, actually, that both of those teams have got it in them to beat both anyone that they come across in the playoffs, because they've got that about them, haven't they? I would worry about even playing Citybourne.
Yeah, the second is the disappointment of knowing you've come so close. And from a Ramsgate perspective, just that nerves of what happened against Hythe last year.
And how many points they got as well, you know, that's the big thing. You know, if you've come second and lost by 15 points and then it's easier to take than being here on two weeks before the end of the season, level on points at the top. You know, that's where it's going to be a hard psychological thing. But again, as you've just said with Maidstone, both of these teams had good FA Cup runs this year. They both got to the competition proper, phrase I hate. You know, so again, in the one-off game, they will fancy themselves. And you know, the fact that those two teams drew on Saturday, that shows actually what a good pair of teams that they both are. You know, they're strong sides. They've been an absolute credit to this division. And whoever wins the league fully deserves to win it. And then whoever wins the playoffs will fully deserve to win them as well. Obviously, we hope it's either whichever one of Ramsgate and Cray Valley or Sittingbourne that win these playoffs. But it is what it is, you know. And you know, massive good luck and well done to both those teams. I understand Ben Smith's disappointment. And I do just want to bring something that he said about that Horndean game, Matt. He's got a point, hasn't he? They had to go there and play on the pudding of a pitch. And now that, because the Horndean pitch has got so bad, now they're playing these games here, there and everywhere. And, it doesn't matter as much when there's nothing riding on it. But why should Cray Valley not have to play in the same arena? You know, you wouldn't do it if, I don't know, say, you wouldn't all of a sudden say in the Premier League, well, Arsenal don't have to play at Anfield. We'll make them play at Old Trafford in that game against Liverpool, a neutral venue. You know, and I think that's, I understand Ben's point. I also understand the games have got to get paid and Horndean have got a problem with the pitch. You know, but I'm finding it hard to sympathise with all these teams getting games called off. I'm finding it very hard to sympathise, actually, because we've spoken to Jay from Dartford several times this on the podcast, you know, and he makes very good points about how it doesn't cost a lot of money to invest in your grass pitch. And you look at Truro in the National League South, you've had all these problems. They've been playing their games at Gloucester for the last month or whatever. They've obviously spent money to get a team good enough to get into the National League South without even having a stadium or anywhere suitable to play. And I think, you know, I'm always a bit of I'm not a massive fan of ground grading rules. I'm not a fan of, oh, you haven't got 116 seats, so you're not allowed to get promoted. But I actually think this season has shown us, despite the weather, which obviously has been a big factor, but I think this season has shown that clubs, if they want to get into a decent level of football, National League South or, you know, the Isthmian League, getting up and out of the county leagues and everything like that, I think clubs have got to be able to put money into their pitches so that games can get on. You know, I think it's a real disappointment for, especially with the distances that become more and more involved. You know, we've seen it with Sittingbourne going to Chichester and obviously higher up the pyramid. We've seen with Ipswich what happened with them when they went to Halifax. You know, when longer distances are involved, there's got to be some sort of thing about your pitch has got to be up to the standard to cope with these games of football. You know, we've heard it doesn't cost a fortune to invest in your pitch. You know, maybe invest in your pitch rather than invest in your players, and you'll feel the benefit of that.
Yeah, I think I did feel for Ben when about the Horndean. It works in craze. Again, you're going to be playing on a low 3G. I saw it in a couple of weeks ago. I haven't, which should be the case. So, again, the thing is, we talk about this every year, John, and it seems to be clearly it's going to continue. And again, back to the Truro situation, they're not going to have a ground next season. So where are they going to play?
It seems ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, they should not be in the National League South. If they've not got a stadium that is suitable to play the games within, well, they're playing 170-odd miles away from where they're actually based. If they can't find a stadium within 30 miles of Truro suitable to play National League South football, and I'm not bothered about, oh, you've got to have this many number of seats, you've got to have this many. As long as it's a safe place for the crowds that are going to be coming to watch Truro, which aren't going to be huge because they're not a massively supported club, and because of where they are, teams don't take thousands down there for an away day. They've got to find somewhere to play. And if they can't find somewhere to play, then the National League have got to actually be ruthless on this one and say, we're not having this again.
Yeah. And again, going back to our previous point about Dartford, could work in Dartford's favour if they can finish fourth and bottom as well. So,
weekend then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. The rest of the Eastman League Southeast action. The playoff places are all set now, by the way. The third, fourth and fifth, we know will be Sittingbourne, Chichester and Three Bridges. The order of that is still to be confirmed after the results at the weekend, which were Ashford with beaten 3-1 at home by Chichester. It was East Grinstead 1, Beckenham 1, Herne Bay 1, Sheppey United 2. Phoenix Sports 1-0 winners at Hythe. We've already heard about Ramsgate 2, Cray Valley 2, Seven Lakes beat Littlehampton 2-1, Sittingbourne beat Lancing 2-2. And then on Sunday, Irith and Belvedere beaten at home 2-0 by Three Bridges. And on Tuesday night, it was Burgessie 1, Sheppey United 2, Ashford beaten 2-1 at Horndean, Hythe beaten 1-0 by Sittingbourne. Nidfish, Littlehampton 1, Irith and Belvedere 1, a result which sends them down, Irith and Belvedere, 23 points in their 36 games, 7 from safety. The battle at the bottom, it was so frustrating for Beckenham, who almost got there. They were held to a 1-1 draw at East Grinstead by a last-minute penalty. So the gap for them is 4 points now. With two games to play, and East Grinstead do have a game in hand as well. Littlehampton are a point further up. They could get sucked into it if they lose their last two, but who knows. But, Matt, from a positive point of view for Kent, Phoenix Sports won at Hythe at the weekend, a result that secured their safety. And I'm pretty sure that Steve O'Boyle will be delighted with that. After being promoted last season and being relegated the season before, that is a solid performance for them. And he must be absolutely thrilled to have kept them up.
Yeah, I think he's done a really good job. They were looked dead and buried at some stages. But when you've had him on, he's a very upbeat, confident man that he could get out of it. So a couple of really good wins. Three wins out of the last six, including a draw as well in that position. Yeah, only defeat was against Ramsgate, which is no disgrace in that point of view. So, really pleased for them. And Steve O'Boyle will be, I'm sure, thinking, right, small steps. Let's try and move up the league next season as well. But, yeah, really delighted for them.
Absolutely. And we're talking of Hythe Town as well. They have a new manager in place. We heard that Steve Watt had resigned. We didn't know when they were going to appoint. We thought we might wait until the summer, but they've got in early and they've confirmed that Sammy Moore has taken over as manager. We did try to get Sammy on this week's show, but he was very busy with a new job, funnily enough, meetings at the club this evening. And we hopefully will hear from him before the end of the season as well. But a good appointment for Hythe. If you take away the disappointment at Faversham, then I think that actually Sammy Moore's a very good manager and could do some good things at Hythe. He can start off next season and just go from there. You know, Hythe is a club with a little bit of potential. They have pitch problems, which we've talked about before. But I think Sammy Moore, local to the area, and he's got something to prove as well, hasn't he, Matt?
Yeah, I think he's that. Yeah, it didn't work out for him at Faversham, so he had a, you know, more than half a season, so he will know this level. For Sammy Moore, he needs to stay at a club for a while. I don't know what the expectations will be at Hyde, but Steve Watt's done really well over that last two seasons, so he's just got to build on that. It'd be interesting if how many players stay or how many move on, and if Sammy Moore, you know, he brings in players that he knows, who he's worked with before. So, interesting appointment. We always thought he'd be back sooner rather than later. Yeah, Hyde's a good club. And Sammy Moore has been at clubs at a similar level. He's had a few jobs now. If he can get, normally he has a manager bounce. It just didn't happen at Faversham. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But he'll have the whole of pre-season to see what he can do. So, yeah, interesting appointment for Hyde and a bold one as well.
Yeah, I think Steve Watt definitely overachieved last season at Hyde, and he would probably admit that as well. You know, and that shows what a good manager Steve Watt is, and I'm sure he's in demand for some other jobs in and around the county as well. But I think, you know, for Sammy Moore, I actually think this is a good fit now. As you say, he could use somewhere where he wants to stick around for a little while and really make a name for himself. As you say, everywhere he's gone, he's had a new manager bounce. He's done some good things as a manager. It was doing great at Potter's Bar until he left Faversham. Him and Faversham obviously were just not the right fit. It just didn't work out. And he now goes to Hyde. He's got something to prove. And I'm sure that come the start of next season, Hyde will be in a good place. It's sensible to make this appointment now because Sammy Moore's got, a couple of games, three games to go this season to look at it and say, actually, let's get this sorted and let's get as good a side together as we can. See what he's got in front of him. And then he can hit the ground running next season rather than, you know, being appointed in July and having to go start with the pre-season. He's got a little bit. The people around the club will get to know him. I actually think it's good that they've got him in now. And, you know, wish him massive good luck.
Yeah. Hyde are a good club. You know, I've been there a few times. Really friendly people. They've had a good manager in Steve Watt. And it's big shoes to fill for Sammy Moore. But again, he's desperate to do well. And I'll say he needs to stay somewhere a couple of seasons. And I'm not expecting them to be playoff contenders next season, but small steps again. You know what you can do from there. So be interesting to see how he gets on.
Absolutely. This weekend, it's Beckenham against Horndean. Samuel's first game in charge will be at Broadbridge Heath. Ramsgate go to Chichester. It's Cray Valley against Herne Bay. Ashford go to Lancing. It's Phoenix Sports against Sittingbourne. Sheppey United against relegated Erith and Belvedere. And Three Bridges against Sevenoaks Town. And then in midweek, just getting ourselves ready for the final Saturday of the season. It's Hythe Town against Cray Valley is the only game involving our teams. But I'm sure eyes at Beckenham will be on East Grinstead Town against Horndean, hoping for a favour from Horndean that could keep the great escape alive for Beckenham, and fingers crossed for them. We should actually, Matt, I've kind of brushed over it, talk about Erith and Belvedere. Did so well to get promoted last season. Just hasn't worked this year, has it? And an emotional statement, I thought, from the chairman today on social media, you know, basically praising everybody around the club and saying, we're going to be back. We're going to bounce back. And it just shows, again, stability, doesn't it? You want to gum up the levels and you know, be in a good position. And I think they never really got off on a good foot.
Yeah, I think, I suppose it's been on for more than a year because they sort of snuck over the line, didn't they, as winners last season with the managerial changes and Matt Longhurst coming in. Didn't really work out for him when he started this season and never really got going. So, again, I like the owner's statement, you know. So, you know, apologise, but we'll go again. This is not going to push us back. It's just, you know, two steps forward, one step back in where they want to be. So, yeah, and I'm sure that there'll be a welcome addition if they do go into the scaffold. Interestingly, I presume they want to. And they'll be one of the favourites to come bounce up if they do.
Do you know what? I was looking at the projections the other day, and again, the scaffold is going to be 20 teams. But there's teams, there's divisions at this level that have got 18 teams, you know, and it's got to be levelled out as far as I'm concerned. You know, if that means other teams have to move out, I mean, I know Beckenham would probably fancy another crack at the combined counties, to be honest. But we shall see what happens when that comes around. Let's move up a step to the Isthmian League Premier Division, where Margate's unbeaten run came to an end as they were beaten narrowly by the leaders, the champions, you know, no less, Hornchurch. Margate, with two games left to play, are 3 points from safety, with a team above them having a 16 better goal difference, so they need to make up 4 points. And Chesham also have a game in hand as well. We've talked this about this a lot, Matt. It does look bleak for Margate. The only thing they can take solace from is Chesham aren't in great form, but it's a tough ask to make up 4 points in two games, isn't it?
It is. I think they've got Enfield this weekend, or one of the sides. Are they ensconced in the playoff? Well, they're near enough, will be. So tough again. The Hornchurch game, good performance against Hornchurch, but story of Margate season, just didn't take too many chances. The game's running out, John. They've got to win both these games. They could all be over on Saturday. Did we see this coming? Probably not. Is it as a shock as much as Dartford? Probably not, but it's an absolute stinker of a season for Margate. And again, they've got to regroup. What they're going to be doing, they mentioned the statement come out about the groundworks have been done for the new stand. So
yeah, have you seen the statement, how well down it went?
Oh, no.
With lines such as, despite the fact not much progress is visible, the work on this was essential for the overall development of the ground, even though it came at significant cost. Works have been completed on schedule. They've left the site. And two small units left behind the dugouts will be moved in due course and will not remain there. It's basically a statement that says they've done something, but they've not really done anything. And it went down really badly. And you know, as I say, I'm in a Margate supporters group on Facebook, and it's so fractious there at the moment. You know, all the supporters are just so upset with what's become of this club. And I get the feeling, Matt, we're going to be talking about this probably at length. Maybe this weekend, maybe on next week's show or the week after. But, you know, I would place what's happened to Margate as being Dover-esque, really. You know, the way that things have fallen, there's no cohesion between them and the club and the fans at the moment, it doesn't seem. And, you know, no one's happy. And I feel really sorry for the people at the club. You know, we obviously love Ryan Day to bits and everything. And you know, but he's kind of a middleman in all of this. And you know, it's the people at the very top who've got to be held accountable for this. And I think, you know, Margate, much like Dover, are in trouble. And I would worry if Margate don't do things right this summer, that they could copy Dover and find it tough next season, because we know the Eastman League South East is a tough league. And if Margate end up there, if they don't pull off this great escape, you know, it could be difficult for them.
Yeah, again, when they worked with Mark Simpson, I think they gave him an 18-month contract.
They did.
Arguably, I think he'd come out in the local press saying, we haven't had to train any games, and criticising the old owner by saying players sign contracts they have to train once a week. So, it's a difficult one. Do you stick with Simpson? Again, his managerial glow or pedigree has sort of reduced over the last year when he hasn't won any matches, but maybe a level below, he could do it. But we said he's been based in Essex before. He knows Essex players. Margate's a long way from Essex. So is it? I presume they probably can't afford to pay him off, but would he be the manager to take them up or take them in that division below? I'd be a little bit concerned.
It all depends on the situation of the club, really, doesn't it? I mean, he might be able to work his magic down there. You know, he is a good manager. He's an experienced manager. But you do wonder, you know, I've got a lot of time for Mark Stimson. I like him as a bloke. And I think, you know, his record speaks for himself, but also his record at the moment speaks for itself. Yeah. But if he gets a chance to bring in his own players and start afresh next season, then there's no reason why it can't go in the right direction again. But I just worry that with all the confusion at the top, is the money going to be there to push on and go in the right direction? That's my biggest concern. And you know, people who listen to this show will know that I've got a massive affinity for Margate. I spent a good couple of years covering them for the Isle of Thanet Gazette, you know, and I really enjoyed it. There were some lovely people involved at the club, you know, and I was there for the highs and I was there for the start of some of the lows, you know, and it really saddens me to see the state that they're in. And you know, but things ultimately, something's got to change, because this has been brewing for a few years now. And, you know, unfortunately, those chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah. You know, I know Margate have always been the bigger team in Thanet, but higher levels, bigger crowds, and they're just being dwarfed by Ramsgate. And if you're a Margate fan, the way they're going and see what Ramsgate doing, it must break your heart. And if they're going to see a tangible reference with a stand going up soon from there, if they go back in August and nothing's happened behind that goal, it could get pretty nasty out there down there from a Margate point of view, I would have thought.
And it'd be off to a bad start already. The rest of the results of the weekend, it was Chatham 2, Folkestone Invicta 0. Chatham almost assured of that second spot and the home path in the playoffs. While Cray Wanderers were beaten 2-0 at Horsham, and one game on Tuesday night involving our teams, which was Folkestone 1, Concord Rangers 1. On Saturday, it's Margate against Wingate and Finchley, who are fourth in the table and almost secured their playoff place, but still need a result to get there. Chatham at home to Horsham. It's Cray Wanderers against Bognor Regis, and Folkestone Invicta against Dulwich Hamlet. All four of our teams at home, Matt. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
Not at all. And did you see it's the Velocity Cup final, John?
It is indeed. What's the score? Have you got it for me?
Final score. Hashtag United. I don't know where the hell they are based. Look forward to playing next season. One. Chatham Town 2.
Hey,
Chatham
have won the Velocity Cup. Well done, Chatham.
Jamie Lilla, who is, I hear very good things about Jamie Lilla, scored a 93rd minute winner to make sure that Chatham, they will be dancing on the streets of Chatham rather than on YouTube tonight. So there you go. So, and I'm sure Hashtag United do have a YouTube channel. So please go on there and see the Chatham win that game. So yeah, they've won the Velocity Cup. So can they do the double when they could be the side moving into the National League South?
Absolutely. A brilliant result for them. And actually, yep. Do you know what? When I spoke to Kev Hake a couple of weeks ago, you know, he said it was an important game and it does just give them something, doesn't it? It gives them a confidence booster as they go forward looking into the playoffs, because, you know, it's been an incredible season again for Chatham. And, you know, I look at those teams in the playoffs and I fancy them, Matt. I can't deny it. I fancy them. And it'll be amazing to see how that all plays out over the coming week. Let's go down to the Southern Counties East League now, where it finally happened on Saturday. A victory for Deal Town in their game against Lidtown. Secured promotion, secured the title for Deal Town. It's been coming. I'd say they had all those games in hand, but probably since about Christmas time, the writing's been on the wall, hasn't it, for Deal Town. Absolutely delighted for Steve King and for everybody involved at Deal Town. A fantastic achievement. And Deal Town are in the Isthmian League. What amazing. Just amazing, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, I think probably when they beat Faversham, was it New Year's Eve or something like that? And they won there 4-2.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think since that point, that's they would look the side that were going to go on and do it. So, yeah, fantastic achievement. Pleased for Steve King. And again, he said at the start of the season, he was doubted because they didn't start the season particularly well, went out of the FA Cup early. They didn't panic. They had to put the squad together. And they've been rewarded with an Isthmian South East division. And they'll absolutely love it going to these new places. This will probably put an extra step in Steve King's mind about looking at different teams. So I think they'd go there full of confidence. We saw what Corinthian did in their first season. And I'm sure Deal can be seen, right, let's get a top half finish, if not even better. So absolutely delighted for all of the concern at the club. Crowd of 1,400, absolutely fantastic as well. So, yeah, absolutely delighted for them.
Yeah, it's been a difficult few weeks for Deal Town. And you know, I felt, obviously I saw them lose at Tunbridge Wells a couple of weeks ago, but that the games maybe did catch up with them, but they've done the hard work. And, you know, 86 points was what he said. I think he said that to me off the record weeks ago. That was how many points he had in his mind that he thought they would need. He then said it on the record at Tunbridge Wells the other week. And that's exactly what they've got at the moment. That's enough for them to be champions. They've got three games left to go. He'd love to get to 95, I'm very sure. You know, and a great achievement. But they've done it the right way, haven't they, Deal Town? They've built the crowds up. They've got local players in doing really well. And I hope that they continue to go as they have done next season, because, you know, anything could happen for them next season. As you say, we've seen teams do very well after getting promoted from the Isthmian League South East. You know, Dicepi, Corinthian, as you mentioned, Chatham as well. You know, and they're on the crest of a wave. They've had a couple of good seasons. They've had good runs in the Vars. And it's just great for Deal Town and some really good people down at the club. I've never been there, actually, but it's on my list of places to go. And yeah, just massive congratulations to Kingy and everybody at Deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the number one team in the CT 10 area or 17 area, so whoever at the moment. So, yeah,
I'm going to put my neck on line. I'd say they're the number one team in the CT area this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Or maybe Ramsgate, I suppose. Ramsgate can maybe
But from that point of view, and I know like a lot of those four people used to follow Dover and they've gone to Deal because they enjoy it and are treated like a football fan.
Let's move on from there, shall we? After Deal Town, the next four will go into the playoffs with the opportunity to join them in the Isthmian League next season. At the moment, it's Faversham are in second place, Glebe are in third, Corinthian are in fourth, Erith Town are in fifth. Bearsted are just outside with three games to play. They've got 68 points, so they technically can still catch Faversham and Glebe there and Corinthian. Corinthian just need a win. Faversham and Glebe both need just a point to be 100% guaranteed. And Erith Town, who won the Kent Senior Trophy as well on Sunday to make it a cup double, they'll be confident they can get in as well and make sure everything's there. Just outside and missing out on the playoffs are Whitstable Town, Matt. And Marcel Nemani has departed the club. Bit of a surprise, that. But what I will say is I thought they'd do better this season.
Yeah, I thought they'd be one of the sides in the playoffs. I think they had a good back end of last season under him. He'd been there for a while. I didn't really see it coming. Had a bit of stability for a while. Again, big club with decent crowds at that level, so a lot of people will be thinking that's a good job to have, and we're just interested to see who goes there. I would have thought the remit will be to get them promoted and back into the Isthmian Southeast Division, so the manager will come in. Interested to see who takes that job. Again, this season's got this. League's got another week to go, hasn't it? So the playoffs must be around Bank Holiday again.
The playoff final was on the Bank Holiday Monday. Yeah. So the playoffs will be the midweek before that, with the final on the Monday. At the other end of the table, still one from four, incredibly. Welling Town have got 18 points. They are bottom. They've got a game in hand on all three of the teams above them. Rustle on 20, Stansfield on 22, and Sutton Athletic on 23. None of those teams between them have won a game in their last five put together. So you would worry where the results are coming from for those. But three of those teams are going to stay up, and someone is unfortunately going to take the drop. And we shall see how that plays out. The results this week on Saturday, it was Bearsted 1, Lordswood 0. Deal 3-1 winners over Lydd Town to secure that title. Faversham 2, Snodden 1. Punjab United 3-0 winners at Fisher. Whitstable Town 4-1 winners at Stansfield after the departure of Marcel Nemani. It was a 2-0 win for Glebe at Sutton Athletic. VC Athletic beat Corinthian by 2-0 in a game that was delayed for an hour in the second half due to a head injury to a Corinthian player, but he's on the mend, thankfully. And Welling Town beaten 4-0 at home by Holmesdale. On Monday night, it was a 2-0 win for Faversham at Tunbridge Wells. Then on Tuesday, Bearsted beat South Athletic 2-0. Deal Town, the champions, lost 2-1 at home to Punjab United. And then on Wednesday night, we've had more games as well. Snodden 5-0 winners over Welling Town. Tunbridge Wells beaten 2-0 at home by Erith Town. Result actually that updates that table and puts Erith Town on the brink of securing their playoff spot as well. This weekend, a lot more can be decided, of course, in that division. It's Corinthian against the champions Deal Town. Erith Town at home to Lordswood. It's Faversham Town against Welling Town. Hollands and Blair against Tunbridge Wells. Holmesdale against Whitstable. Kennington against Punjab, Lydd Town against Glebe, Rostall against Bearsted, Stansfield against Sutton Athletic, and Snodden Town against VCD Athletic. And then in midweek, we have got Monday, Tunbridge Wells home to Bearsted. On Tuesday night, it's Deal Town against Erith Town, Lordswood against Punjab United, Welling Town against Kennington. And Wednesday, Tunbridge Wells against Holmesdale. And then on Thursday, Erith Town play their final game of the season at home to Snodland. And then they'll have to wait and see what goes on. But their playoff plays will probably be confirmed by then before the final game of the season on Saturday the 27th. And the playoffs on the week commencing Monday the 29th with the final for the Premier Division, as you've just discussed, on Monday, May the 6th. Let's have a look at the scaffold First Division as well now, where the title is still not quite decided. AFC Whiteleaf have got three games left to play, and they're only 3 points in front of Staples Monarchs, who have played a game more. Larkford and New Hythe also looking good for another spot in the playoffs, along with Rochester United. Three of those four teams will be in the playoffs, and the other place very much still up for grabs, with Lewisham Borough on 48 points, FC Armstead 47, Canterbury City on 45, and Croydon on 44. Croydon do have a game in hand as well, so they may wish to sneak in as it goes on towards the end there, but we shall see what goes on there. The results in that division over the course of the week. On Saturday, we had FC Whiteley 3-1 winners over Lewisham Borough. It's Brighton Oaks 1, Canterbury City 1, Rochester United 1-0 winners at Forest Hill Park. K-Sports 3, Greenways 4 in the battle at Cobdown. It was Larford and Newhythe 2, Tooting Vet 1, SC Thamesmead 3, Faversham Strike Force 2, Staples Monks 4, Meridian VP 2. And then on Tuesday night, it was FC Hampstead 4, Greenways 1. Before on Wednesday night, it was SC Thamesmead 0, Lewisham Borough 2, Staples Monks 2, Larkfield and Newhythe 3. I think that brings everybody pretty much up to date. I've coughed and spluttered a lot of the way through that one, Matt. But we've got there in the end. What do you think is going to happen at the back end of this season in the scaffold?
Faversham looked the side to beat in the playoffs, sort of thought, because I'm running into good form. I've feeling things about Wellington Town having issues reading online. So they could be the one feeling going down from there. It looks like the non-Kent sides might win the scaffold too. So from that point of view, John. But yeah, all in all, it's been a decent season. And from a Faversham point of view, all the pressure will be them on for the playoffs, won't it? Because everybody expects them to do it. So fascinating times ahead. But world's longest pod, John. I thought this one could be done pretty easily. But this, we've gone on long.
I knew it would because of the time of the season. That's the point, you see. And obviously the home advantage is going to be massive in those playoffs. So we will see how that all plays out going over the next couple of weeks.
So how long we've got basically 2-3 weeks left of the season, isn't it now? 2 and a bit weeks.
Pretty much, yeah. I think I would say that Monday the 6th of May
could be
probably going to be the last game involving us, which will be the scaffold playoff final and the Eastman League playoff, Premier Division playoff final.
And the Conference South final.
And the Conference South final is on the 4th that weekend as well.
No, they've moved to the 6th, haven't they?
Have they? No.
It's the Monday because they've had to move the main final to the Sunday because of the train strike.
Brilliant. There you go.
So it could be Kent heaven, three Kent winners.
Absolutely. You never know. Then that would change how we feel about this season, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
We shall see. But yeah, we will bring you all up to date with everything over the next, 3 weeks? And then we can go and scream at ourselves for two months, exactly. Man. That'll be all right.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
I know it's been a long pod, but you did promise everybody some film reviews. So
have you seen Wonka?
No, I haven't.
We watched it the weekend. Really good film. Really good. I'm a big fan of the Gene Wilder one, less the Johnny Depp one, but this one was really good. If you like the Paddington style films of recent year, the Wonka one was really good. So a great family movie, which we all enjoyed. So, and it's got some good songs in it. So apart from that, we haven't really been watching too much again. John, it's 10:05. I've been asleep the last few weeks on this time. So apart from that, and it's just the weather's so bad. It's just so windy and miserable. And I think we had a massive hailstorm when we were doing the pod as well. You might have heard in the background. So just hoping for the weather to improve a little bit and these nice nights. And from there, yeah, so I feel like I should be doing more, but I'm not. I don't know if you are. I was not, apart from working.
Not really. My mum and dad went to see Wonka, and my mum wanted Willy Wonka to come home with her.
There you go.
So, and my dad was quite up for it because he said he'd still get to keep the house because they live in an over 55s place and he wouldn't be allowed. So,
Hugh Grant is very good at it as well. So, very funny. But that was probably the best family film we've seen since Paddington, John, if you've seen any of the Paddington, which are also great entertainment.
Excellent. Well, I haven't seen Wonka, but it is on my list, actually. We were going to go and see it at some point, but we didn't quite make it, but we got some. I've been watching the new series of MasterChef. It's been very good, and Taskmaster has been very good as well. So that's been keeping me going.
One thing I've watched is Avoidance. Romesh Ranganathan. I like Romesh. His comedy show. I would recommend that for half an hour. It's quite it's good entertainment. I would say that's quite funny.
We are going to wrap this up soon, but you'll have a guess what we're doing on Saturday.
That's a big, what does it involve?
Well, so people will remember that I'm talking 18 months ago. There was a Saturday morning when everyone was trying to get tickets to see Peter Kay.
Oh.
And our number has finally come up.
Oh, right, I'm going in July.
So yeah, we're going on Saturday. Our tickets are for this Saturday. We're finally there. We finally made it. And I remember when I bought... Yeah, at the O2. When I bought the tickets, like, literally... I can't remember the exact date that I bought them. I could find it if I wanted to, and I will do very quickly. But I hadn't me and Fee hadn't been together that long when I actually bought the tickets for Peter Kay. You know, it was a long time ago, wasn't it, that they went on sale?
Yeah.
November 12th, 2022. So Fee and I had only known each other not even 2 months at that time. And I did say to her at the time, look, I'm inviting you, but you never know how things are going to pan out. Yeah. Obviously, things have panned out magnificently, and we're looking forward to it. But yeah, finally, what, 16 months on, we're going to see Peter Kay.
Exactly the same concert that I will see.
I expect so, yeah. I'd imagine he's just written one set list and he's hammering through it every night. Right. So a mate of mine went to see him back in the summer last year. He must have been very good at getting tickets. But we were...
Did your mate enjoy it?
Yeah, he said it was very good. Yeah, standard stuff. So really looking forward to it.
When we go, well, I think we're basically top row of the O2.
We've not got terrible seats. We're on like the sort of first bit of the seats. We're not on the floor,
right?
But we're not at the very top. So fingers crossed. It'll be a good night, and I'll give you some sort of spoiler-free review.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On next week's show,
in there, so I can remember that. Yeah.
Absolutely, but honestly, it's been one of those things. When's that bloody gig? And it finally has come to pass that we're going to see Peter Kay on Saturday night. So, you know, and in all seriousness, I've never seen him before. You know, I'm a big fan of his comedy. And it's going to be brilliant to go and see him. So looking forward to it. The only thing was, I briefly looked at driving and parking at the O2 because I thought, do you know what? It might just be a bit easier. £32. I'm not being funny, but we can get the train cheaper than that. So
the train's not on strike, though, are they?
No, not this Saturday. So we're all right. Not ours. Other areas they are, but ours aren't. So we're all right. So that's our plan for Saturday. So looking forward to it, and I will tell you all how it goes next week. Anyway, we will wrap this up now because this has been an epic show.
Breaking news, John. Maidstone have won the Kentina Cup for
surely not. Amazing. Yeah, well done to Maidstone. Congratulations. And hopefully next year's Kent Senior Cup will be played. The final will be played at a more reasonable time for both teams involved. You can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, search for Kent Only Podcast. And you can search for the group Kent Only Football Chats as well and get involved there. You can find us on Threads and Instagram at Kent Only Podcast. I'm at JohnPhipps81 and Matt is at Matthew_Gerard. Thank you everyone for this week's show. Thank you to our two guests for their time after their game, that epic game on Saturday night. And massive good luck to everybody who needs a result this weekend. Hope that all of your dreams come true or whatever you need happens and that you can manage to get the result that you want. And we've got an upbeat show on next week's Kent Only Podcast. Because I tell you what, if Ipswich go down and other teams start going down, then we'll all be slitting our wrists left, right and centre. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to this week's show and we'll speak to you next week on the Kent Only Podcast.
Bournemouth or Woking? Oh, I don't really care. Just one of them.
See, now you know well what it was like when I had to pick which Biffy gig I wanted to go to a couple of weeks ago.
See, yeah. I'd probably want Woking if I could. So that means Ipswich has to lose. Yeah, Ipswich lose, Woking still go down. We'll go with that.